Welcome to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, a podcast for anyone ready to embrace life's ultimate truth. It ends. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, here to break down barriers around mortality through heartfelt conversations, personal insights, and practical tools for facing the end with courage and intention. Whether you're curious about death, navigating grief, or seeking ways to live more fully, this is your safe space to explore life's most transformative topics. Together, we'll turn fear into understanding and silence into connection. Hello, my friend. I see you. Maybe you clicked on this episode out of curiosity, or maybe you've been avoiding a conversation like this for a long time. Or maybe you've joined the club no one wants to join. Death has already touched your life in a way you weren't ready for. But no matter what brought you here, welcome. I'm Alexis Hughes, and this is Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. This is a space where we talk about life's final chapter, not with dread or with avoidance, but with open hearts and open minds. So let's kick it off and get right into it. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you really thought about death? Not in a passing way, in an abstract, someday it'll happen to me way, but truly sat with the reality of it. One day, you'll die. What does your own mortality mean to you? Let's sit with that for a moment. What are you afraid of when it comes to death? Is it the fear of what happens next? Is it the great unknown? The fact that no matter what we believe, there's no absolute certainty about what comes after. Maybe it's the process itself, the pain, the loss of control, the sense of slipping away. Maybe it's about who we leave behind, the thought of our children growing up without us, our partners navigating this life alone, our friendships, our relationships, everything dissolving into a memory. And that's the thing about death. It's both deeply personal and profoundly communal. And yet, we don't talk about it. In a 2021 survey by Chapman University, over 68% of Americans said they were afraid of their own death. Yet, only 32% had openly discussed their end-of-life wishes with their loved ones. Think about that. Nearly 7 out of 10 people fear dying. Valid. But fewer than 1 in 3 have ever talked about it, much less made their final arrangements. So why do we fear something that is absolutely inevitable, but we avoid preparing for it? I once worked with a man, and we'll call him James, who was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was in his 40s, like myself. Husband, father, had a great career, strong body, full life. And he fought it. Not just the illness, right? Because everyone fights cancer. It's kind of the thing you do. He fought the very idea of dying. He kept saying, "I'm not ready." But death doesn't work on our schedule, and eventually his body said otherwise. And I'll never forget the moment he finally accepted it. It wasn't a dramatic, movie-like realization. No cameras zoomed in and no soulful music played in the background. It wasn't some big speech or a sudden transformation. It was quiet. We were sitting together one evening and he looked out the window and just sighed. And he said, "Get it now. It's time." From that moment, everything changed. Instead of spending his final weeks resisting the inevitable, he embraced the time that he had left. Wrote letters to his children, the kind they could open at different moments and milestones in their lives. He made a playlist for his wife full of songs that meant something to them, songs she could play when she missed him. He planned his own funeral because he wanted it to feel like a celebration and not a tragedy or a loss. He didn't want anybody to stand around being awkwardly sad. James didn't die too soon. He died exactly when he was meant to. But the peace that he found, well, that only came when he stopped fighting death and started embracing the life that he had left. Grief isn't just about loss. It's about unfinished business. The things unsaid, the fights unresolved, the times we didn't show up in the way that we wish we had. Grief is heavy. They don't call it emotional baggage for no reason. If we're not careful, it becomes something we carry forever. In a 2018 study published in the Journal of Palliative Medicine, 72% of hospice patients expressed regret about something in their life. Top three, not expressing love enough, not making amends with people that they had wronged, and not fully living the life that they had wanted. One of the hardest things about death isn't just the loss, it's the grief. And most of that is spawned from regret. The things unsaid, people you didn't tell off, the stuff you wish you had done. They don't call it a bucket list for no reason, because when you kick the bucket, you can't finish the list. Grief is heavy, and if we're not careful, it drags us down. So let me ask you this. If you knew you had 1 week left to live, what would you do? It's like I joke around with clients who kind of hesitate in telling me those things. I said, if you knew you were dying at midnight tonight, who would be the first person you would punch in the mouth? And of course they laugh, and then someone immediately comes to mind and we can go from there. But seriously, would you spend more time with your family? Would you call the people you haven't spoken to in years? Would you finally say all the things that you've been holding back? Now ask yourself this. Why aren't you doing those things right now? What are you waiting for? Let me tell you another story. I once sat with a woman, I'll call her Mary. She was in her late 70s and she was dying of congestive heart failure. She knew it was coming and she wasn't afraid of death itself. We'd had a lot of conversations about it. She was counting the days to be back in her able body in the kingdom of heaven, right hand of Jesus, hanging out with all of her friends. What was she afraid of, though? Was dying with regret. She had been estranged from her sister for about 30 years. Stupid argument, something about money and family dynamics. It had been so long that she barely remembered what they even fought about, as it goes. But the grudge had lasted a lifetime. But now here she was, dying, realizing she might leave this world without ever making things right. So we sat down and we made a phone call. And her sister, who had been just as stubborn, just as hurt, picked up. And within minutes, a decade of silence unraveled. They cried, they laughed, they said everything they needed to say. Mary died 2 weeks later, but she died lighter. What burdens are you carrying that aren't meant for you? What grudges are you keeping that will outlive you? I once knew a hospice nurse. For those of you that don't know, I came through hospice into death work. And she was someone who had sat at hundreds of deathbeds, comforting strangers in their final hours. She was the kind of person that you'd want by your side. Warm, patient, reassuring. But one day, she confided to me that she'd been avoiding her own mom. They had a complicated relationship full of old wounds and resentment. But when her mother was dying, she hesitated. She waited too long to visit. And when she finally did, her mother was unconscious. She held her hand and whispered words of apology. But the conversation she had been putting off for decades never happened. And she told me later, should have known better. You hear frequently on bedside and during hospice that they can hear you. And they can. Science shows that hearing is one of the last senses to leave the body. But it's not a conversation. You might get those I'm sorries and those final words out. But it's not a conversation. Don't wait. We avoid talking about death. And then it happens and we're completely unprepared. You know what happened in 2020? Of course you do. The pandemic happened. But do you know what else happened? A mass reckoning with death. COVID-19 put death in front of us in a way that we hadn't seen in generations. Since the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, people were dying in hospitals without their families. Funerals were held over Zoom. We lost over 7 million people worldwide. And yet, we weren't ready. How many of those people had end-of-life plans? How many had advance directives, wills, conversations with their families about what they wanted? Very few. Because our society has conditioned us to avoid death, to pretend it isn't coming. And when it does, we scramble, we panic, we make choices in crisis instead of with intention. The problem isn't that death happens. It's that we don't prepare for it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the pandemic, how that meant death to all of us worldwide, what we can do about it, and further living with no regrets. If you're curious about me and what I do and you want to hear more, you can go to withoutfeardoula.com and check out all of my work, where I get all my knowledge, and a class that I'm offering at Cleveland State, 6-week class about how to be a death doula. So if you're into what I do and you want to do it too, withoutfeardoula.com.
Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show.
Are you ready to embrace life's greatest truth, that it ends? Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, with death doula Alexis Hughes, is your safe space to explore mortality without stigma. From heartfelt conversations and practical tools to personal insights on grief, healing, and living fully, this podcast breaks down the barriers surrounding death. Tune in on Transformation Talk Radio and start turning fear into understanding. Visit withoutfeardoula.com to learn more.
Are you ready to unlock your full leadership potential? Well, look no further. Our expert coaches will guide you to navigate complex challenges, enhance your decision-making, and inspire your team to reach new heights. Invest in your growth. Invest in your success. Elevate your leadership skills with Antero Solutions today. Visit our website, anterosolutions.com, or call 202-924-1781 to schedule your consultation.
Welcome back. Hope you're enjoying episode one so far. I am nervous, if you can't tell, that I messed up my own URL. It's withoutfeardoula.com. com, but it's my first podcast, so you can't be mad at me. And if you're dealing with death all the time, you have to be funny. So get ready to laugh with me, sometimes awkwardly, but here we go. So we left off, we were talking about COVID-19. We look in the rearview mirror and we see it and we think that we're past it, but COVID-19 didn't just take lives. It forced us to confront death in ways we weren't prepared for. It became inescapable, unavoidable. Turn on the news, death tolls rising by the hour. Open social media, friends and family posting about sudden losses. Look out the window, empty streets, hospitals overrun, everyone holding their literal breath. Over 7 million people died worldwide. 7 million empty chairs at dinner tables. 7 million unfinished conversations. 7 million stories cut short. And yet, despite the scale of loss and despite the daily reminders of mortality, we weren't ready. Families were scrambling. Funerals were held over Zoom. People were dying alone. And the last time you saw your families were through windows. But for the first time in modern history, thanks to the internet and social media, death became a shared global experience. And for so many, the pandemic really made our greatest fear a reality, one that we couldn't look away from. I was dying alone. Hospitals were overwhelmed. There were protocols in place. Families weren't allowed inside. Patients, some conscious, some barely breathing, said their goodbyes over video calls or through a nurse's gloved hand. Doctors and nurses became the last faces that many people saw, and phone screens became the final touch of connection. I remember reading about an elderly woman, 84, who had been married for over 60 years, and her husband had dropped her off at the hospital, fully expecting her to come home. Instead, she spent her final days alone, surrounded by strangers in PPE, unable to hold her husband's hand. Her family said their goodbyes through an iPad, and that's how she left this world. She wasn't alone in that experience. And how many of us have thought, I don't want to die alone? And yet for so many, that is exactly what happened. In the first year of the pandemic, traditional funerals mostly weren't possible. Instead of gathering to grieve together, families stared at pixelated images on Zoom, trying to find closure through a screen. People weren't able to hug. They couldn't share their stories in person. There were no hands to hold. For many, the funeral, the ritual of saying goodbye, never happened at all. In the U.S. alone, over 200,000 people were buried or cremated without their families present. Think about that. Hundreds of thousands of people, and no one there to see them off. A son grieving his mother, with only a priest and a nurse beside the casket. A daughter mourning her father while isolated in her apartment, lighting a candle alone. A spouse staring at an empty hospital bed, unable to even say, I love you one last time. It robbed people of closure. And that's something that lingers, because grief is meant to be shared. It takes a village, doesn't just mean for a child. It takes a village always, for everything. We're meant to gather and hold each other up, to tell stories, to cry together. And now, years later, people are still carrying unresolved grief from that time. It wasn't just a personal loss, it was everybody's lost. We lost entire generations of elders, the storytellers, the wisdom keepers, the people who carried family histories. We lost frontline workers, community leaders, teachers, artists, healers. And for many, life never really went back to normal. Spoken to people who say they still feel like they're living in a fog and that the world is forever changed. And it is. But the world moved on and their grief didn't. And here's the thing. When grief doesn't get acknowledged, it doesn't disappear. It festers. It turns into exhaustion, depression, anger, anxiety, hatred. It turns into pain. It should have made us more open, more willing to have these conversations. But did it? No. Most of us still haven't had the most basic conversations with our families about what we want at the end of life. A 2022 survey found that only 37% of Americans have written down their final wishes. Less than half have had an open discussion with their families about what they want. 25% of people over 50 have no will, no advance directive, and no end-of-life plan at all. We watched entire families crumble under the weight of unprepared loss, and yet we still push it away, and we still tell ourselves, think about it later. If there's one thing I want to show you, it's this. Death does not wait for you to be ready. It doesn't wait for convenient time. It doesn't wait for the right moment. It doesn't care if you're uncomfortable talking about it. And when we avoid these conversations, it doesn't stop death. It just makes it harder for the people you leave behind. And if you don't talk about your final wishes, your family has to guess. Let me tell you, guessing is the worst thing to do while grieving. I'll tell you really quickly about the Morrison family. Their father, John, kind of man who always took care of everything. He worked hard, paid the bills, fixed things around the house. He was the provider, the rock, steady force in their lives. When John had a sudden heart attack at 67, though, everything changed. His wife, Carol, and their two children, Amy and Mark, were left completely unprepared. John had never discussed his final wishes, not once. It started in the hospital. Carol was in shock. One moment, her husband had been sitting in his favorite chair drinking coffee. The next, he was gone. When the doctor said, would he want to be resuscitated if it happened again, she froze. Would he? She had no idea. Children tried to help, but the truth was, none of them knew what John would have wanted. They were forced to make those decisions in the middle of their grief, second-guessing themselves every step of the way. Cremation or burial? Carol assumed John would have wanted to be buried. He was traditional. But Mark remembered his dad once saying, I don't want to take up space in the ground. Did it mean that he wanted cremation? Amy was adamant that he should have a traditional funeral, that dad always respected tradition. Mark disagreed. They went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for days, fighting over what their father would have wanted. Their grief turned into resentment. Carol was exhausted, overwhelmed, emotionally drained. Every time she tried to make a decision, she worried, what if I get it wrong? Mark became frustrated, pulled away from the family. Amy felt like she was carrying all the responsibility of planning. Carol, caught between her children, felt like she was failing them both. A time that should have been honoring John's life was filled with arguments, uncertainty, and tension. 3 days before the funeral, Carol found an old journal in John's desk drawer. Inside was a single note he had written, dated years before. And I quote, if anything happens to me, don't make a big fuss. Keep it simple. I want to be cremated and scattered somewhere beautiful. That was it. And that's why these conversations matter. A family torn apart by indecision and grief could have been saved all of that. What you can do today is I want you to think about this story. Do your loved ones know your wishes? Have you ever had an open conversation about, do you want to be buried or cremated? There's other options. What kind of funeral or memorial do you want? Do you want aggressive medical treatment at the end of life, or would you prefer comfort care? If you can't make decisions for yourself, who do you want to speak for you? These conversations can be uncomfortable, but they're a gift to the people we love. We can't control death, but we can control how much suffering we leave behind. So where do I come in? As a death doula, my job isn't to stop death. It's not even to soften it. It's to make space for it. I sit with the dying so they're not alone. I help families navigate grief before it happens. I teach people how to say goodbye before they have to. And I help people die intentionally. Sometimes. I help the living too. Because sometimes the person who needs a death doula isn't the one dying. Sometimes it's the son who didn't get along with his father, the friend who doesn't know how to say goodbye. I'm there for all of that. So why did I start this podcast? Because we need to have these conversations. This isn't just a place to learn about death. It's a place to learn about life. Future episodes will talk about how different cultures approach death, the myths and fears around death, how to prepare for your own death, not just practically, but emotionally. Death isn't the enemy, isn't a thief, it's a teacher. The more we talk about it, the more we live. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, share, and leave a review. Check me out at withoutfeardoula.com. And remember, you don't have to fear death. Not anymore. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, and you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Join me every third Monday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard on Transformation Talk Radio for honest conversations about life's final chapter. Together, we'll break down barriers around mortality and empower you with practical tools to start meaningful conversations with your loved ones about end-of-life wishes. To learn more about end-of-life support and my work as a death doula, visit withoutfeardoula.com. Thanks for listening.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.